days in Iraq. And it's kind of funny to hear people's responses prior to going. Obviously, as a church, we had a couple weeks vacation, and then I went to Iraq on an incredible journey. To be honest with you, and I should say this, besides my wife and my family, it was the most incredible experience I have ever encountered in my life. And the meetings with government officials, the meetings with church leaders, incredibly humbling. I don't know how else to say it. Incredibly humbling. We met with high up, the highest up of the Kurdish regional government, the KRG, who Kurdistan is a semi-autonomous region of Iraq, still part of Iraq. And as you're aware, they're having an independence vote on September 25th. And if you study a bit about the Kurdish people, they're the largest people group in the world without a country, a nation of their own. They have been pushed around. They've been at the forefront of genocide. If you remember in the late 80s, Saddam Hussein took a portion out of the Quran and thought that it was time to fulfill that, and he bombed, mutilated, and gassed his own people, the Kurdish people. As we were in the office of Karim Sinjari, what an experience to be in the office of this man, the interior minister, acting leader of the Peshmerga soldiers. And he is the one that contacted Terry Law for him to put a group of people together to come over there. And this ragtag team from Canada, the UK, and the United States went there under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because it couldn't be us that could change things over there. It has to be God. And so, of course, he shared how in the late 80s, Saddam Hussein leveled 4,500 villages, gassed his people, about 180,000 died. And they want their freedom and they want their liberty. And one of the interesting things is they are Sunni Muslims. Not Shia, Sunni Muslims, but they're a very moderate Muslim people. There's a different feeling, and I'll explain that in a moment too, from Kurdistan than when we crossed over what is called disputed territories, the Nineveh Plains. There's just a different sense. How many of you ever read about boundary lines in the Word of God? There just seemed there was this, not only a physical boundary line, meaning a checkpoint, but a spiritual one also. And I can't help but believe that God is doing something in the Middle East, and all of us, what can we do? We can pray that God is setting up like a hub in the land of Kurdistan so that the gospel can go forth in greater measure in the Middle East for these times that we are living in. Amen. And so one of the things we don't realize here as Westerners is, and Christian Westerners, is that the gospel is growing at rates one could never imagine in the Middle East. You cannot stop the Word of God. You cannot stop what Jesus said He would do. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the gates are plural. Many things are coming against the church, but they are growing, and they are thriving, and they are dying. See, the story this morning that I share is just a portion of the story, because it's not about myself or the team that went. I was able to do a live interview on CBC Eye Opener, CBC Radio Eye Opener, Thursday morning out of Calgary for about 8 minutes. And immediately they jumped to the place where we were held at bay, our convoy, I guess you could say, 100 Shia militia surrounded us. And I'll explain that in a moment. But immediately the news wants to jump to that. The real story, especially for the world and especially for the church, is that our brothers and sisters, Christian minorities, ancient church people, ancient Orthodox churches, when the gun or the sword was placed to their head, ISIS, and they said, either convert to Islam, pay the tax, or die. They chose never to defy Jesus. They chose death. But how many of us know, and we preach this so, I don't know how to explain it. We read the scriptures where if any man is in Christ, the old is gone, the new is come, and to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we read that very in the West, like, wow. But when you're faced with it, what would we do? What did they do? They would never deny Christ. And thousands of our brothers and sisters are with the Lord today. They are modern day martyrs. And their blood, as scripture says, is crying out under the altar. Revelation. And they passed away. Powerful stories of grace. Powerful stories of what God is doing there. And we were able, I haven't received the email yet. When I get it from World Compassion, I will. There'll be papers at the back on the 7 points that we were able to present as a team to Karim Sanjari as what we would like to see in their constitution in regards to freedom of worship and freedom of religion. If you're a Christian over there right now and you drive a car and you're in an accident, you are immediately at fault. There isn't even an investigation because they have to carry around an identity card that tells them what religion they are. Anybody have that in Canada? No, you do not. They have to carry the card that tells the governing authorities what religion you are. If you are a Christian and you're in an accident, you are immediately at fault, and the Muslim family can decide what you need to pay. We heard a story of a Christian missionary in Erbil that was in an accident, couldn't pay, spent 3 months in prison. Finally, people interjected. The police finally negotiated with the Muslim family, and they were able to get some money to there. And these are the things to that family. These are the things that are going on that we have no concept of in the West and no idea. And you know, folks, to be honest with you, it's going to be hard preaching the tribulation. They're going through it. Every day, they're going through it. And their faith is tested every single day. I'm going to open up my message this morning. I guess I have opened up, haven't I? And I'm going to share with you a dream I had 2 years ago. And you can say, well, whatever, but that's okay. It was what I felt the Lord gave me, but it was a dream, very vivid, while I was sleeping. And I'll share it with you this morning because it has great relevance with what I'm going to preach. I was in Iraq with Terry Law. Now, isn't that interesting? It was vivid, it was in color, and very real. Terry and I were walking down a street, I don't know where, but we were on a street, and within seconds, I just turned behind me, and there were terrorists behind us, and they were aimed for us. I grabbed Terry, he was ahead of me, I just grabbed him by his shirt, and we walked by, and there was an open door, and I took him, and I threw him in through that open door, and I quickly closed the door. My instinct was flight, not fight. I didn't have any weaponry to fight, so I fled. And in the dream, I'm running, and I see ahead of me a vehicle that would be high enough that I could baseball slide under, all right? This is how vivid this dream is. As I'm running and I see the vehicle, I get near it and I slide in. As I'm sliding in, I turn around and one of the terrorists has a rocket launcher. Anybody seen rocket launchers? You've all watched movies and you've all watched the news. He sees me. He sends the rocket towards the vehicle. It hits the vehicle. The vehicle explodes in flames. I come out from underneath the vehicle completely immersed in flames. The next minute in my dream, I'm with Terry. He looks at me and he said, Mark, look at you. Nothing has touched you. Not a hair on your arms was singed. Nothing, not a hair on your head. Go ahead, laugh. Just get it out. Nothing has touched you. I saw the whole thing. God has spared you. God has kept you. End of the dream. On August 21st, in the morning, after we'd had a number of meetings Saturday and Sunday, lots of meetings, we were scheduled to go what's called to go into what's called the Nineveh Plains. When you study this, this is so fascinating because this is ancient Christian land. Ancient Christian land. We were scheduled to go there. We were going to leave about 9:15. Can you put the portion of scripture up that I want to read? And then we're going to play the video. And so we went in four government vehicles, black SUVs, Toyota Land Cruisers, and in front of us was armored vehicle of Peshmerga soldiers, cannon on top, soldiers in the back. Behind us, Peshmerga soldiers, they're the Kurdish fighters. Same thing, about 16 soldiers in all. Four of us in government vehicles, government drivers. I was in the lead vehicle just behind the Peshmerga. And we were going in to see, into the Nineveh Plains, to a city called Qalqursh. I didn't pronounce that very well, but just in the region around Bartila, about 20 kilometers from Mosul. These are now disputed territories between Erbil and Baghdad. And you have to go through a number of checkpoints to get to these lands. I'll leave the story and then I'll come back to it. This is 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn, you can do that, or it's going to be here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with, next verse, all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to say that to you this morning. Receive it. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And here's the reason, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Verse 6, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. Verse 8. Now, as we read this, we're not sure what the trouble Paul is talking about here in Asia. We really don't know, except that when we read about Paul's life, he had tremendous persecution. All right? We're not sure what's going on here. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. I want you to remember that. We despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Think about that. In our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Now, this is a very key scripture, because I'm going to ask you throughout this time that we have together, who are you relying on? Who are you relying on? But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope. Say that. On him we have set our hope. Say it again. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. Can we say amen? Amen. He's going to deliver us. And so the situation I'm about to describe to you was such that if we would have died, he would have delivered us. I'm still here. He delivered us. That's true. Because for the believer, whether we live or whether we die, we are victorious. If you're not in Christ today, you know, I've come back and I'm going to change the way I call people to Jesus Christ. Christ calls us to death. He doesn't call us to try him on and everything's going to be wonderful. He calls us to die so that his life and that the resurrection of Jesus Christ can be brought up within us so that it is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in us. He calls us to die. He calls us to death. And we really can't, and this is not to our fault, but we cannot understand this, that about 80% of the church around the world faces death every day through persecution. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. You folks were praying, and trust me, we knew it. Now, can we hit the lights? And this is a very brief video that I took with my iPhone as we're traveling out, because I want you to get a picture of the soldiers. It's about 30 seconds, and hopefully you'll be able to see it. There's not much sound to it. So are we ready for that video? Hit it and hit the sound.
Oh, this is a good one. Down here is a good angle.
That's the Peshmerga ahead of us.
Really well. I've got him. See them. They were right in front of us. This is a great angle to shoot from. It gets that.
That's Khalid from the Department of Religion. It's not a great video. But anyway, okay, we can hit the lights. You kind of get a picture. So the Peshmerga in that armored vehicle are ahead of us. Four of us in government vehicles, KRG vehicles, Peshmerga behind us. If any of you are like me, you need reminders of things in life. How many of you are like me? Thank you. Good. Maybe that's not a good thing. How many of you have ever relied on something other than God? Be honest. When we got into the vehicles that day, and I saw the Peshmerga, I was going, the boys got us. We're going to be safe. We got the soldiers with us. It was about 9:15 in the morning. At 10:15, we desperately needed God. So we head out into what's called the Nineveh Plains. Contested territory, as I said earlier. You have to go through a number of checkpoints. It was all set up. They knew we were coming. The government had set it up. And basically, they waved us through. At the first checkpoint, I knew something was different. You saw Khalid in the passenger seat. He works for the Department of Religion of the Kurdish government. After the first checkpoint, he reaches down on the floor and picks up a case, unzips it, and pulls out a machine gun. And I went, okay, things just changed here. I looked at Jim, who I was riding with, and I said, well, this is interesting, but I can tell you there was great peace the whole time. We went through another check stop. At that point, an Iraqi police officer escorted us now, also ahead of the Peshmerga soldiers, to the place, the next checkpoint in the Nineveh Plains. We were going to see this city that has been absolutely destroyed and devastated, about a city of 60,000. Thousands fled, thousands died to either gunfire or the sword, whatever ISIS felt like doing. It is virtually a ghost town. They destroyed churches, and we wanted to go with our own eyes, and maybe there's a few locals there and hear some of the stories. We pull up to the checkpoint. The Peshmerga are ahead of us, and the second Peshmerga soldiers pull right up there. The checkpoint is virtually empty at this point. There might be a few people there. Immediately out of the checkpoint comes an individual in plain clothes wearing a hat, and he literally elevates. He checks out. He goes over to the Peshmerga vehicle. He slams his fist on the hood of the vehicle, and he opens the door, and he tries to take a swipe at one of the soldiers, the Peshmerga soldiers, which immediately causes a showdown at the OK Corral. The anger and the hatred that elevated so quickly was beyond understanding. At that point, there was fighting, physical fighting, there was wrestling. At one point, they were wrestling over the Peshmerga's AK-47. We're right in the lead car, and that AK was pointed right at us as they were wrestling. And we wanted to see what was going on. We started, obviously, to pray. All of a sudden, what was an empty checkpoint, about another 20 to 30 Shia militia showed up. These Shia militia are part of now Baghdad's army, and they're being funded by Iran. Folks, it's a great study to see what's going on. Iran does not want a free Kurdistan. They're terrified of them. So they're being funded now by Iran, and everything begins to elevate. Gunfire is going off, and all of a sudden, some young men, 18, 19, 20, show up. Anybody seen a 50 caliber rifle? With 50 caliber rifles. And they're shooting them off into the air. And when they go off, your vehicle does a little bit of this. At this point, of course, we're going, what has just taken place? We're praying. We're asking the Lord for peace. And then, that was about 15 minutes of that. The driver of our vehicle thought, okay, I'm just going to turn my car around, my SUV, and we turned it around, and everybody kind of followed. It was a very narrow road, and we were stopped immediately by one of the militia pointing his gun, going like this. Another militia put big rocks in front of us, cinder blocks, and about 2 minutes later, about 70 more Shia militia showed up. Some of them, about three Toyota trucks with the 50 calibers mounted on the back, and those were pointed at us. At this point, I said to Jim, it just got a little more hairy. And it did. We sought God, we were just praying. And I can tell you, I did an interview with CBC Radio at 8:10 on Thursday morning, eye-opener out of Calgary, a live interview. And of course, they want to jump right to this story, right? I can tell you in all honesty, I did not have fear. I was anxious, somewhat anxious, but we just prayed. One of the things I had was sadness. Sadness. Young men with no hope. Young men who have been raised without hope, without a home probably, proper food, proper education, the hope of a wife and children, the hope that we have that we can work and we can prosper, all the things that we take for granted. And then you're being raised in an atmosphere where you are indoctrinated with hatred. And I need to make this very clear to this church. Not all Muslims hate us. Be very, very careful that you do not place Muslims in one mold. There is an extremism there that are teaching. Now, I'm not saying Islam is right, but I am saying we must be very careful as a church. The only thing that will win a Muslim is the love of God. The love of God. While I was there, and you can turn to 2 Kings, please. While I was there, I was led to read 1 John twice. If you've read 1 John, and you should read it, 4 chapters, it's all about the love of God. And the Lord said to me as I was in my hotel room in Erbil, it's my love that will change this. Nothing else can change this. The evening before we went out, and I want to emphasize, as I try to always do, the importance of the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that gets you through the situation that we were in. But I will tell you, the situation, we were held for 50 minutes, 5-0. If one soldier or one Shia militia would have taken a bullet, not one of us would be alive today. It would have ended up being an absolute bloodbath. But you know what was present and what got us out? at that time was, number one, the sovereignty of God. It wasn't our time. Secondly, a word that we should know very well, grace. Everybody say grace. You're alive today because of the grace of God. You are here today because of the grace of God. You are saved today because of the grace of God. And if it wasn't for grace, because the one thought that passed through my mind is, how is Becca going to get my body home? It's a true story. Then I thought, well, if those 50 calibers start going off, it'll be going home in envelopes. Not going to be much left. But I'll be with Jesus. I'll be with the Lord. Turn to 2 Kings. Oh, I love the word. How many can say that? Amen. Amen. The night before, I phoned Becky Sunday evening, which was afternoon for her here. We were 9 hours ahead. And I said, Becky, I have not experienced what I'm experiencing for years. The enemy has just come into my room like a flood. It is dark, it's black, and it's a spirit of fear. And I said, I'm not living like that. I preach against this because fear is the opposite of faith, and we don't have a spirit of fear, Paul said to Timothy. But I know at that point I needed somebody to pray, and I phoned Becca. I said, hang up, pray, and I'll call back in a few minutes. She prayed, I prayed, we talked. It just felt like it lifted. I was awakened Monday morning, a.m. at 4:30, and this is what the Lord gave me. Start at verse 12. Very clearly, he said, go to 2 Kings 6. I knew the passage of scripture that I was going to read. None of us, my lord the king, verse 12, said one of his officers, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. We were surrounded. How many of you feel sometimes in your life you're surrounded by circumstances or by things that are out of control and you can't do anything in the natural about it? Anybody been there? I've never experienced what I experienced on that Monday morning. Never. It doesn't happen here. But we were surrounded. Some of us are surrounded today. Some of you are surrounded and you're down and you're despairing. Don't be. Who are you relying on? Who is your God? He's Jehovah. He's the God who rescues us from everything, whether we live or die. Amen, church. Come on. Come on. Get excited here. We serve the living God. So 4:30 in the morning, I'm reading this. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. He's seeing with the natural eye. We always, trust me, we were seeing things with the natural eye. One of the amazing things that happened or didn't happen, however you interpret it, is that not one of the militia tried to open our doors and get us out. They knew, from what we found out later, that we were an American and Canadian delegation. I believe they saw dollar signs written all over our foreheads because they should have really held us hostage for money and then killed us. But in the natural, I'll tell you what, in the natural, it looked pretty hopeless. You've got 16 Peshmerga soldiers and you've got 100 Shia militia. In the natural, it looked hopeless. But how many know we serve the God who makes all things possible? All things possible. Everything. 16, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. 4:30 in Erbil, Monday the 21st a.m. This is what God gave me. And I went, two things. I went, Lord, something's up, but you're going to deliver us and you're going to show how mighty you are to us, because the hand of the enemy wanted to show his hand, And that's what he does in our lives. And that's what he does through circumstances. And that's what he does as the enemy comes in like a flood. But we know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, it is our God who raises a standard against him. And so as we were surrounded that morning, this scripture once again that I had read about 5-6 hours was there. And Jim Gilbert, who has written books with Terry, was just praying peace. We prayed that nobody would die. Do you want to know why we prayed that? We weren't talking about ourselves. Those Shia militia don't know Jesus Christ. And what about the Peshmerga soldiers? Do they know Christ? Didn't Jesus say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? Did he not say that if you want to be my disciple, you must give up everything? Luke 14, did he not say that? At that point, you're giving up everything. Trust me, you got nothing but God. You have nothing. Nothing. But we've got Jesus Christ. And as Bishop Dawood had said the night before, they can take everything from us, but they can't take Jesus. They can take everything. But do we understand that in North America? I don't think we do. Not to our fault. We're here in this peaceful land. But I'm going to say something that I've said before. Persecution is coming to this land also. Maybe in a different way, maybe in a different form, but it's coming. You have a government that's starting to tell us how to raise our kids. And if you don't raise them that way, they are bringing laws in that says, we'll take your kids from you. Oh, the sin of silent churches. The sin of silent churches, folks. Not in anger. We must do it in love, but the sin of silence. The sin of silence. Well, as we understood afterwards from when we met with Kareem Sanjari again on Friday, here's how it all went down. The guy in the passenger seat, Khalid, was on the phone with Kareem Sanjari, high-level Kurdish government official. Kareem Sanjari was on the phone with the Prime Minister of Iraq. True story. And he said, you best get something fixed here because we have a very serious situation at this checkpoint. At which point, now we understand another black vehicle showed up and it was someone whom we were informed with that had some authority over the Shia militia and brought some form of order. Over 100 rounds went off into the air, folks. At that point, the Peshmerga soldiers, both convoys, both vehicles, went ahead of us. We were stuck there. And I looked at Jim and I says, well, this just got interesting again. But who was I relying on? Who was I relying on? Was I relying on them or was I relying on the Lord? When I went out, I was relying on the Peshmerga. Thought we were safe. They leave. 4 of us are now stuck. And 100 militia are around us. The other prayer I had and thought I had that was rolling through me is, Lord, don't let me deny you. Don't let me deny you. If they pull us out, don't let me deny you. You know, we're all pretty, excuse the expression, cocky in our safe country. But when you're faced with it, it is different, I must tell you. And I just said, Lord, don't let me deny you. Please, give me the strength. And had the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your minds. You got to know the word, folks. Nothing gets you through unless you know the word of God. Because it's your strength in times of trouble. Amen. We got to get this, church. We need a revival. I've said that over and over, and I don't know how. It's God. We got to rely on the Lord. We need a touch of God. So about 5 minutes later, after the Peshmerga soldiers had gone a long way down the road, by the way, when we were driving, we had to kind of crisscross. It's a 4-lane highway. But the one side, ISIS had totally destroyed. communities, villages emptied. Over on this side, thousands of people in tent camps, either UNICEF or the UN. Thousands. Thousands, breeding grounds for hatred. And we say things like, oh, those people, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? They have nothing. We need God, and they need us to pray that God will somehow break open the Middle East for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The church in the West has to come alive. Yeah. Finally, the dude that put the rocks and the cinder blocks in front moves them, looks at us, waves his AK-47 and just says, go. And we went down the highway. And so finally, when we got through now the opposite direction, the checkpoint that led us into Kurdish territory, not a border, a boundary, we pulled the cars over and we all got out and we went, wow, and breathed a sigh of relief. And the drivers and the Peshmerga, who were so amazing, they never, 3 Peshmerga soldiers took gun butts to the face. But Karim Sanjari told us something on Thursday when we met with him to present with him what we would like to see in their constitution. He was extremely troubled. He seriously was troubled by what took place. But he shared with us that he said this. He said, if one bullet hits a government vehicle with those men in it, one bullet, you are to lay your lives down for those men. Wow. You are to die for those men. They didn't know us. Who were we? Who were we? As I'm in that government room, I'm going, the scripture rolls through my mind, no greater love is this. Do you know the scripture? That he would lay down his life. One would lay down his life for a brother. I know it's talking of Christ, but what about those men? My goodness, folks, your theology does a little bit of a switch when you're in those situations, and the word comes very much alive. Who are you relying on? Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is the man who relies on man. Who are you relying on? Who are you relying on? Who are we as the body of Christ relying on? When you hear stories from 2 Presbyterian pastors, one from Baghdad and one from Kirkuk. Kirkuk is where the mass of oil is located in Iraq, and now it's under Kurdish control. And you hear their stories of what has taken place, and you kind of hang your head because they're living for Jesus in a way that we probably have never experienced here. And I'm not saying this to criticize the church here at all. What I'm saying is, do we realize what we have in Christ, in God, the freedoms that we have? Our churches should be full, but they're not. That should grieve us. Bishop Dawood, 2 years ago, said to Terry and Jim, he said, if I have a message for you for your Western churches, here it is. Please treat us as good as you do as your pets. Please, do something, help us. We have had so many empty promises. But you can't take Jesus from us. And he said it again. Ancient Orthodox churches who some of us have had the audacity to even think that, are they born again? Seriously? They didn't deny Jesus when the sword and the gun was put to their heads. They're our brothers and sisters. We're going to meet them one day. Those that have passed away. We're going to close with the last verse. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4. So after we experienced what we experienced that night, I asked the Lord, Father, what was that all about? What was that all about? A number of things came to mind. My mind. He said, you were fighting the old ancient devil, the prince of Persia. The same one Daniel fought in that same land. The prince of Persia is Iran today. He says, you were fighting that. I said, ooh, that's kind of interesting. He said, secondly, son, you needed to go through that. I said, thanks, Lord. But you needed to go through that. You needed to experience what my people experience every day. The possibility of death. And so we went to this, he took me to this scripture. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're the clay. Just go back for a moment. Thank you. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Watch this. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. You ever thought about that? If you're in Christ, you carry around in you the death of Jesus. We always carry around the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Next verse. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Verse 12. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And the thought occurred to me that that morning we were being given over to death so that possibly somehow, maybe just one of those Shia soldiers could find Jesus Christ somehow. Possibly a soldier. Possibly a high official in the Kurdish government. Somehow that the life of Christ would shine through. And if I could say anything, let's stand together. If I could say anything to each one of you as this church, have you thought about death? That's a morbid subject, Pastor. We're in North America. You're supposed to make us feel good. Supposed to preach the gospel. Amen. The gospel. And yes, we're to preach hope. But are we willing to see our nation changed? Are we longing for the change in our own country? Are we remembering those who are less fortunate? That's all I'm saying to you. This is not a message of guilt. It's a message of awakening. I had an awakening in Kurdistan. And the Lord gave me another interpretation for my dream. I'm not prepared to share that right now. I'm working that through in my own heart. But we've been delivered over, folks, so that the life of Christ can reign in us. Pastor Larry, I think, shared last Sunday, because I phoned him prior to the service. Do you remember what he shared? He said he did share it. I said to him, please tell the people to love one another. Do you remember Larry sharing that? Yes. Tell the people to appreciate one another. And please try not to complain. Try not to complain. I know we're all going through things here. But folks, wow. Try not to complain. And when you do, smack yourself upside the head. Or your wife will. Let's bow. Father God, we have so much in Christ. Amen, church. Forgive us when we've not relied on you, or when maybe even the thought of, well, we're going to be okay because we got this or that, or a full bank account, or we've got this, I've got that, whatever, Lord. But Father, at any given moment, we could be given over to physical death. Father, thank you for this church. The story, church, is not about me. The story is about what God wants to do over in that land and those lands. And the story is about people who have given their lives and are suffering. And so we lift up Kurdistan and we lift up Iraq and the Middle East and we say, oh God, we pray for them. And Father, I thank you for the pastors, the shepherds that I was able to meet, and they're living this every day and they're faithful. One man will not bring his family to Iraq, but he's faithfully shepherding his church in Baghdad. Bless him today. Strengthen them today. Strengthen all the churches there, ancient historical churches, Lord, that love Jesus Christ. Be with your people here, there, throughout the world. In Jesus' name, every head bowed. How many of you would say, Pastor Mark, honestly, I think I've relied in areas of my life, and even now, maybe not on God, lift your hands. Would there be anybody who'd say, yeah, let me encourage you. I did the same. Rely on God. Amen, church? Amen. All right, let's lift our hands for the blessing. Father God, thank you for this church. Thank you that they had the vision to release me, and thank you, God, I humbly say this, that, Father, I was able to go into the land of Kurdistan. Bless the people today. Give us strength here and help us to come to an awareness, God, that we need an awakening. But, Lord, all we have to do is step into that awakening. Be with the folks at Whispering Pines. Be with the church across the city. We pray because you're our source, God, for life, and you're our source when we die and everything in between. We pray it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. 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 Well, you've been an amazing audience again, as you always are. Love one another, appreciate one another, and don't what? Complain. Be blessed. Have a great weekend in the Lord.